George Simon worked for Metronome magazine, and he was on the scene. And here's what he tells us. Les Brown referred to his band as the Malted Milk Band. If you equate malted milks with leading a relaxed, youthful life, with liking and trusting people, with enjoying what you're doing, with retaining a certain amount of unabashed naivete, then Les's description was quite accurate. His band had fun. The guys always seemed to take pride in their music, and for good reason. It was always good music. The arrangements, many of the early ones, were written by Les himself, and they were top-notch, and throughout most of the band's history, the playing of them was equally good. Les's spirit and musicianship pervaded his band. Few leaders have ever been accorded such complete respect by their sidemen. Back in 1940, I wrote in Metronome what now, more than a generation later, still holds true. It's difficult to find a better liked and more respected leader in the entire dance band business than Les Brown. Of course, a healthy personality and an honest character don't make a great leader by themselves, but they help an awful lot when the guy can do other things, such as make fine arrangements, rehearse and routine a band intelligently, treat musicians as they want to be treated, and then impress himself on the public by playing a good clarinet. Talk to some of the fellows in the band. A number of them had better offers, for there had been some lean Brown band days, but they refused them. This band's too fine, and a guy can't be happier than when he's working for less. He knows just what he wants, how to get it, and he treats you right, so explain musicians as they ruthlessly turned down a Miller or a Goodman or a Dorsey in rapid succession. Organized at Duke University, the band, known as the Duke Blue Devils, left the college in the spring of 1936 as a complete unit. The musicians, almost all still undergraduates, spent the summer at Budd Lake, New Jersey, and then, with the exception of two of them who returned to school in the fall, they took to the road for a year. During the summer of 1937, they performed at Playland Casino in Rye, New York. Les recalls that the guys made $25 a week, and I made all of $35. I was pretty green in those days. I remember that the song pluggers used to come up to see me to talk business, but most of the time, I'd go off between sets with the guys and play shuffleboard. Eventually, Les resettled in California. For most of those years, he earned an excellent living from radio and television shows, Bob Hope's, Dean Martin's, the Grammy Awards, salutes, and so on. He and his band also traveled extensively with Bob Hope to service camps all over, a regimen that Les gladly surrendered in the late 1970s in favor of one that allowed him to remain at home in his delightful early American-style abode in Pacific Palisades, where he and his wife Claire spent evenings listening to classical music and entertaining their many friends. Several nights a week, Les left home to play West Coast gigs with his band, but in the winter of 1981, he concluded what he insisted would be his final one-nighter tour. Even more so than in 1946, when he issued a similar statement, he really meant it. That from George T. Simon in his study, The Big Bands.
Got my bag, got my reservation. Spent each dime I could afford, like a child in wild anticipation. Long to hear that all aboard. 7, that's the time we leave at 7. I'll be waiting up at heaven, counting every mile of railroad track. takes me back.
Doris Day with Les Brown and the Band of Renown. George says that Les Brown was celebrated in New York by the band members and audiences around the country, and when he toured with Bob Hope around the world. Well, Les Brown was born right here in Schuylkill County, and he's a much loved and respected native son. And we're invited to the 17th annual Les Brown Big Band Weekend, opening tomorrow with a film festival in Pine Grove. WVIA has been following these annual tributes for well over a decade, and we've talked often with Joel Goulden, a retired music educator, band director, organizer, and chair of the Les Brown Big Band Weekends. And a few years ago, he spoke with us about Les and his music.
Probably the most important song that he's remembered for is Sentimental Journey. Everyone, I think, remembers that, and it became such a big hit for the returning servicemen coming back from World War II, kind of a welcoming-type song. It's a very romantic song, and of course, it's the song that catapulted Doris Day into stardom in the vocal music world as well.
And he began in our midst.
Yeah, his father was, and actually his uncles also, very musical. His dad was always interested in music, although that was his biggest love, although to put food on the table, his father was a baker, which, of course, as a youngster, Les was employed there to help his dad, and that was one of the things Les wanted to get out of, and he found his way out through music. But his dad remained a baker all his life, although his dad was, in the Williams Valley area, his dad was very big in music. He taught music lessons. He had summer music bands that he had going at that time. And, of course, then this kind of rubbed off onto all of his sons also, the three sons that he had with Warren and Clyde, who was known as Stumpy as well. All three of those fellows also went into music and stayed in music for the rest of their lives.
We'll talk about the young people coming up now who are inheriting that tradition in just a bit, but Les went off to college and began making music there as well.
Yes. Originally, he went to Ithaca Conservatory. From there, he went to the New York Military Academy, and after that, and of course involved in music in both of those institutions, he ended up down at Duke. And eventually became, in his junior year at Duke, became the leader of the Duke Blue Devils. And that was really the reason he wanted to go down to Duke, was because they had this dance band down, the Duke Blue Devils, which he started playing with in his freshman year, became the leader his junior year, and eventually, after graduation, took them on the road for a year, which at that time they were the only college band to ever get a record contract. They had the record contract with Decca and produced several. At that time, there were 78s that they were putting out. And eventually, they ended up in New Jersey for their final concert on the tour and disbanded after that. And several of the guys went back and finished out at Duke. And I think two of the guys stayed with him and eventually ended up being in the Band of Renown when he started the Band of Renown.
His career became international, of course. How did he get to the West Coast?
Well, after being in Duke, after he got out of Duke and the Blue Devils disbanded, he ended up in New York City, and he got married, became an arranger for other bands, didn't have a band of his own at that time. And then an influential man in the industry by the name of Eli Oberstein had suggested to Les, rather than just writing for all these other bands, how about if you get your own band together? So he did get the Les Brown Orchestra together. They played in New York at a lot of the big hotels, Hotel Pennsylvania, I think Hotel Edison, places like that. Eventually, then, they did shift over to California, and I think the first place they played out in California was the Palladium. And by this time, they were called the Band of Renown, and that was just kind of, Les never made that up. That was by a kind of a fluke that one of the radio announcers, when they were broadcasting live on the radio, and he was stalling for time, he just called them the Band of Renown, and Les asked if he could use that name, and the guy, yeah, sure, go ahead. But eventually they did end up out in California and started playing the Palladium, and that's kind of where Bob Hope heard them and when they were out there in L.A. and Bob took them on as his band, and that's where they ended up going with Bob's USO tours, first in Korea, and then eventually when he went in Vietnam also, and kind of get, you know, internationally known and seen by people all over the world.
And what were the hallmarks of a Les Brown performance, a Les Brown sound, would you say, Joel?
Well, originally when Les's band just was kind of playing the standard kind of big band type stuff, until, from what I've read, he heard Benny Goodman, and he said, okay, from here on out, now we're going to swing. And I don't know, the band just had that that quality where you hear it and your foot starts tapping, you want to get up and start dancing to it.
In Schuylkill County, there is a sense of honoring Native citizens who have contributed in creative ways to the county and then, of course, to the country. And Les has been honored in that way.
Yes, the Schuylkill County Council for the Arts, on his centennial, they inducted him into their Hall of Fame, which was it was something extremely nice for them to do. It was an honor, and we were able to have Les Jr. come in at that time and accept it on, you know, on behalf of his father, which was it was neat.
Joel Goulden, retired music educator and organizer and chair of the annual Les Brown Big Band Festivals in Schuylkill County. In anticipation of all the events this weekend, we had a chance to speak by phone as well with David Minnick, who is Les Brown's cousin, a fine musician in his own right, and one of the founding members of the festival committee. David Minnick is a keeper of the family stories, and we asked him to share some of that history.
In 1912, Les was born in my grandmother's living room in Reinerton, just above Tower City. And as history goes, his parents, R.W., Raymond and Hattie Brown, got married, and they didn't have a place to live, so they went housekeeping in my grandmother's home. There was a large basement room in the house, and that's where they lived, and that's how Les came to be born, in my grandmother's house. And my grandmother had just had a baby before that, and for some reason Aunt Hattie couldn't nurse Les right when he was born, and my grandmother gave Les his first meal. So she nursed him for a while, and those were the stories that came down through the family. So in 2006, after 2 years of arduous work with the Pennsylvania Historical Commission and the Tower City Porter Rotary Club, who sponsored us in Tower City, and the Greens, who own the home where my grandmother lived, and my grandfather was a stonemason. He actually built the building, the home there on Grand Avenue. In 1908, he built the home. The ground was deeded. He purchased the ground from Charlemagne Tower, founder of Tower City. So that was an interesting fact that we found when we did all of this information back in the day. So, of course, in younger years, Les's dad was very active in the music in the area, and all those small towns around Tower City back in the day had bands, and R.W. directed the Tower City Community Band back in the day, and a Reinerton band, and an Orwin band, and that's where Les got his start, playing saxophone with his dad in these bands. And of course, then he went off to college and higher education and started the big band of renown, came out of that with the Blue Devils and all that kind of stuff. So Mr. Goulden, who was the elementary school teacher, band director at Williams Valley, took up the mantle when we had the dedication of the marker in 2006. We put a historical marker in front of grandmother's home denoting the birthplace of Les Brown. And after that, Mr. Goulden decided he was going to have a little get-together with different groups at the school. And that developed into the Les Brown Festival, which we've been having every year since. Since COVID came, we gave up the festival at the school. But this year, the high school, Williams Valley High School band director has taken up the job of putting that back together again. So the festival is going to be on at the high school this year again, which you'll remember, Erica, you were an MC for that festival a number of years ago, I might add.
It was great, David. Thank you. It was an honor to be part of that.
Yeah, it was good. Of course, Stumpy was there at that festival when you were there, as was Les Jr., and now they're all gone. So there's only Denny, Les's daughter, is the only one left. So the family shrinks as we go along here. But God love him, Stumpy got to 99 years old.
And we should probably pause just now to say Stumpy was Clyde Brown, Les's youngest brother, and he played trombone.
Yep.
How long did Les live?
Les Sr. went from 1912 to 2001. And Junior just passed away 2 years ago, and he got to 80. R.W. and Hattie were in their 80s when they passed away.
Doesn't it say something, too, David, that the family kept its ties to their dad and his birthplace by taking part in the festivals over the years?
Yeah, my sister got this paperwork to put this historical marker together somewhere around 2003. And I retired in 2003, and she said, you have more time than me. You put this together. So I start doing the paperwork, and it was quite a job to do because I had to get a sponsor. I had to get permissions from the Porter Township to put the marker up. And once that was together, then I went to the commission and filled out the paperwork and then had to go to a committee of 17 people, I think, and they rather voted yay or nay, and of course they voted yay for us to put the marker there. And then once that was done, I put a letter out to all of the cousins saying this was going on at Grandma's house, but we need some money to put this together. And I raised over $2,000 to get this marker put together and printed up a program and decided how we were going to dedicate this. And we had a band, a community band, a Tremont community band at the dedication. And at Grandma's house, we were on her front porch. What was her front porch, and had the unveiling. A gentleman, Mr. John Robinson, was there from the Historical Commission to explain about the marker and how it was connected with the Dorseys and others where they put historical markers through Pennsylvania. And it was just interesting how these markers web the story of history throughout Pennsylvania and through the music realm in Pennsylvania. So after the dedication at the house, we had a big band dance at the school and a dinner banquet for over 200 people in the community came out to that. So it was kind of a big deal. Now, the festival is back this year, and we're starting with Thursday night. We're showing a movie at the Pine Grove Movie Theater in Pine Grove, movie that Les was in. That is Thursday night. And then the 25th is the big band dance, which we have had throughout the life of this festival, and that's going to be with the R&J Big Band, which they do a really bang-up job. And in the past, we've had it at the Tower City Legion. However, Joel feels that we have outgrown that because we have gotten a good response. So we have gone now this year for the first time to hold this dance at the Wiconisco Fire Hall in Wiconisco, Pennsylvania, which is in Dauphin County, just a few blocks away from where Les Sr. grew up in Lycans. And it's a rather new hall, and it's a bigger venue than the Legion was, and we're hoping to fill that place, and that's going to be 6 to 10. And then the festival will be at noon on Saturday at the Williams Valley Senior High School Auditorium. And that's going to host a couple of school bands again. And the featured band will be the Lebanon Jazz Band out of Lebanon here where I live. So that's kind of the history. And Mr. Goulden asked if he could do something back in 06 with his little jazz band. And I said, we're kind of booked all the way through. But I said, have the jazz band come and play while we're having our dinner at the banquet. And they and the senior jazz band both played. And that's where we got started going. He said, I'm going to do this festival. So from there, he kind of formed a committee, and I got on the committee and a couple others, and we've been going strong ever since.
Let me just ask you, as you were growing up in the family, did everybody just take for granted that Les was out there touring and playing music and being on television and all being in films, or was it always a big deal?
Well, it was kind of a big deal. I mean, every time he was on, of course, all the relatives were around that old TV watching, even in black and white back in the day, and then a lot through his history. You know, it's interesting. My mother's brother, Lynn, went to California and raised his family there, and in the late 50s came back for a visit with the family, and his wife, Ruth, taught piano in their home in California. And my grandmother, of course, had an old upright piano, and she took me and sat me down on that bench at the age of 6 or 7 and started to thump out some piano notes with me and said to my mother, this kid needs to have piano lessons. And that was the start of my music career, which I just finished up last year after 50 years of being a church musician. My last gig was I did 19 years at the chapel at the VA hospital here in Lebanon. So I finished up in October 27th. I did a recital, an organ recital, and that finished out my career.
Tell us a few more of the highlights, David.
The festival has really done some really nice things. We brought band members in that were in the Band of Renown, and they played with different groups, but they also went to the classrooms at Williams Valley and talked with the kids about learning and having their lives develop around music and what it's like to work in the music world. And Les and Denny and Denny's son, Swampy Marsh, who is the developer of Phineas and Ferb, those who like the Phineas and Ferb cartoon, he is in that with Walt Disney, and that's his vocation now, and he's co-creator of that. And he was at one of the festivals and was just like crazy signing autographs for hours and hours and hours for kids that were at the festival. So there were some really neat things that have gone on over the years. And of course, one of the highlights was the year that you were there and Stumpy was our main guest for that festival. And Les's both children were there, Les Jr. and Denny were there. So that was, you know, it was really neat that these folks from out west and other areas came home and got to see where their grandfathers and uncles were born. We also, as a committee, did different things around the community. We were instrumental in putting up signs, Reinerton, the town of renown. We kind of renamed that, and we renamed the street alongside of grandmother's house as Les Brown Lane. So the street that goes north and south across East Grand Avenue, that's now Les Brown Lane. Stumpy was born in Tower City, which is just west of Reinerton. And in the block that he was born, we have signs up there denoting the birthplace of Stumpy Brown. So there were some kind of neat things that we, as a committee, did over the years in that area. And, you know, along with having the festival every year and the dance, and there was lots of times a church service to close out the festival on that Sunday. That's not going to happen this year, I understand. But the last few years, we've had a nice array of musical groups and soloists and guitars and a community choir, the Williams Valley Community Choir, which I founded back in 1974. I was glad to see that they're still somewhat around. They perform, so they had nice church service to close out the Les Brown Festival over the years. That's kind of the background of what has gone on with the festival and the history.
David Minnick, musician, cousin of Les Brown and committee member of the annual Les Brown Big Band Festivals. And we began with Joel Goulden, retired music educator and organizer and chair of the annual Les Brown Big Band Festivals. We have a chance to attend the 17th annual Les Brown Big Band Festival this weekend, and we have a number of events to attend, as David Minnick laid out for us.
things get underway tomorrow evening at the Pine Grove Theater in Pine Grove, and it is a film. It's the 5th annual film festival, and it will feature the Band of Renown in a rarely seen movie from 1957. Admission is free, and here's what we learn about it. The festival this year, the 17th annual, is dedicated to Jay Hill, who was a trombonist who sat beside Stumpy Brown during the 50s and 60s. And Hill began arranging music for the Band of Renown and eventually stopped performing to dedicate his time to arranging. Well, the festival this year will honor him with hours of his music and also, as it happens, this movie that will be featured tomorrow evening at 7 in the Pine Grove Theater in Pine Grove is the only time Jay Hill appeared with the band on film. And so if you haven't seen it, according to the newsletter, the film hasn't been publicly viewed since it was first released. So the admission is free, and that's tomorrow evening at 7 at Pine Grove's movie theater. Admission is free. Then Friday, April 25th, it is the Les Brown Dance, and that's much anticipated. It's featuring the M&J Big Band at the Wiconisco Fire Hall, Art Street in Wiconisco, and that's from 6 to 9 or 10, and that is not to be missed. And then we have a chance on Saturday, the 26th, it's the Les Brown Big Band Festival in the afternoon from 2 to 4 at Williams Valley High School in Tower City. And the special guest is the Swingin' Lebanon Big Band. It's Lebanon Big Band Swing Band. It is 2 to 4 Saturday, this Saturday, April 26th, as part of the Les Brown Big Band Festival. For more information, lesbrownfest.org, lesbrownfest.org. Les Brown Sr., the native of Reinerton in Schuylkill County, who is in the Hall of Fame in Schuylkill County and also is honored with an historical marker. And that's on the property of the house that used to be owned by David Minnick's grandma. And it was that house in which Les Brown was born. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, it's the 17th annual Les Brown Big Band Festival in Pine Grove tomorrow evening at the movie theater. On Friday, April 25th, it's the much-loved Les Brown Dance, the M&J Big Band, the Wiconisco Fire Hall on Arch Street, getting underway at 6. And then Saturday in the afternoon, April 26th, it's the Les Brown Big Band Festival at Williams Valley High School in Tower City, 2 to 4, with the special guest. It's the Lebanon Big Band Swing Band. lesbrownfest.org.
Make a sentimental journey to renew old.